Hey everyone, thanks for joining us on The Week in Review. I'm Amanda Vinicky. During his annual budget address, Governor J.B. Pritzker issues a stark warning, not about the state's finances, but about his fear that the United States under President Donald Trump is going down the path of Nazi Germany.
My oath is to the Constitution of our state and of our country. We don't have kings in America, and I don't intend to bend the knee to one.
Gaining national attention and blowback.
I'm personally offended that I had to sit here and repeatedly hear the governor of this state accuse members of my party as being Nazis in a lazy trope.
As for the budget, Pritzker says it's not dire, but Illinois must keep spending tight.
For our spending must reflect reality. We have to live within our means.
Republicans call hogwash.
We just heard a whopper of a budget, $55.4 billion, 37% increase. That's the largest budget the state has ever seen.
Unknown yet, the impact of federal cuts. Illinois workers, including university professors, push back on firings and canceling clinical research.
These activities include stopping the development and spread of disease, protecting people from environmental and occupational hazards, and effectively responding to public health emergencies.
Meanwhile, a proposal to lower the speed limit on Chicago streets hits the brakes. The mayor's plan to issue bonds for infrastructure stalls too, and Anjanette Young says she's disappointed to still be waiting for the city to take action, limiting no-knock warrants.
My case forced a conversation about change, but conversations aren't enough. The injustices I endured continues to happen. The leaders who vowed to fight for change and justice have not followed through.
And now to our Week in Review panel. Joining us are Tina Svandelis from the Chicago Sun-Times, Olivia Olander of the Chicago Tribune, Shia Kappas from Politico, and Block Club's Chicago's Michael Liptrot. Now let's get to it. I'm going to start with you, Tina. It is no secret that Governor Pritzker is not a fan of President Trump, but he's really ratcheted up this week during his State of the State address on Wednesday. Why?
Well, as you've said, we've heard him call him everything, a fascist, a racist, everything in the past 6 years or so. And so during his address, he did kind of liken the Trump administration to Nazi Germany. And it was like kind of a weird timing of it. It was the bottom half of his budget address, which was about 35 minutes. We were waiting for what's the attack going to be on Trump, and it was kind of in this coded language. It wasn't as overt as the language that he has used in the past. But he basically said, we have to pay attention to what's going on and that the uprising in Nazi Germany came very quickly. Obviously, there was some blowback, which you mentioned, of a lot of Republicans saying, hey, you know, if we support Trump, does it mean that we're Nazis or that we support this movement? So I think that kind of hit a chord in a different way than if he were to use that more overt language that he had been using.
Well, and in fact, the governor seemed aware that some would accuse him of taking it too far or call him an alarmist, and he addressed that criticism head on.
If you think I'm overreacting and sounding the alarm too soon, consider this. It took the Nazis 1 month, 3 weeks, 2 days, 8 hours, and 40 minutes to dismantle a constitutional republic. And all I'm saying is that when the five-alarm fire starts to burn, every good person better be ready to man a post with a bucket of water if you want to stop it from raging out of control.
Olivia, there was a lot of blowback, but some folks saying that this was necessary. They appreciated hearing a Democrat speak up like this. What's the reaction?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, definitely there was room for blowback. It's a big accusation to make, but also
huge.
I think Democrats nationally are kind of looking for a leader, and there isn't really one right now. And I think if Pritzker didn't take this opportunity to at least, you know, show what he has, show his opinions right now, and show where he wants Illinois to be, it would have been kind of like a missed political opportunity for him. So even though it was kind of strange to be in the chamber and have all these like kind of technical budget things and then this come into the second half, most people don't perceive it that way, I think, and I think they would just see this clip and see that's who Pritzker is right now.
And Shia, Republicans say that this is just him trying to make a national name for himself. The governor in his address said, no, this isn't out of ambition. This is because I truly believe and I want to defend the Constitution as an American citizen. So did it work in getting this national attention?
Yes. Rachel Maddow led her show with it for 3 minutes, which is pretty amazing. And I do think that Pritzker, this is really a personal thing for him. I think he would be talking this way if he wasn't running for governor, if he wasn't running for president. We don't know if any of those will even happen. This is something that is very personal. He built the Holocaust Museum here in Illinois. He's very in touch with people who survived the Holocaust. It's so important to him, and I think for that reason, because he's a student of that era, he knows and draws parallels to that, and that's why he spoke so passionately about it.
It's really effective politics when you think about, like you said, just his personal tie to it and the timing of this in relation to just the state of the White House right now, where you have tweets like, he who saves a nation violates no laws. And this week, having a tweet equating Trump to a king and a photo of him wearing a crown, and seeing in history when you see democracies devolve into or appearingly devolve into what people can view as a regime that's against democracy.
And under that mantle, it would be malpractice to not speak out. But Michael, could this backfire on Illinois already? Again, I said earlier that the governor, not a fan of Trump, but it works in the reverse as well. So is this sort of unnecessarily putting Illinois in the crosshairs of an administration that has no gumption against sort of taking revenge on those who speak out?
I think Pritzker's made it very clear that he's willing to fight that fight when it comes to the lawsuit that the Trump administration has leveled against the state and sanctuary cities, when it comes to ICE being here. I think this is a battle that's already going on. So I view this really is just another step in this struggle between the state and the nation, given just this current state of affairs when it comes to our national politics.
Now, this comes as Trump and his closest advisor, some would say, given what is going on, henchman Elon Musk, are carrying out massive firings and layoffs. Their allies say that Trump was elected to make government more efficient, as laid-off EPA workers held a rally against the actions this week in The Loop.
If there's no one working on environmental health, safety, if there's no one at the IRS, if there's no one at the EPA, if there's no one at the FDA, all of America will be unsafe. It's not federal workers who are your enemy. It is people who put profits over workers. It is people who put profits over the American people. That is your enemy.
Government is not supposed to be a job creator. Government is supposed to create an environment for private business to flourish. The more government agencies that we have, there's going to be more burden on the taxpayers.
And that Representative Cabello there, sponsor of a measure that would implement something along the lines of DOGE in Illinois. Now, Shia, this is generally in Washington, D.C., this focus of the mass layoffs, but it's very much hitting Illinois as well. How?
Well, we've heard of EPA workers being laid off. I've heard of IRS people being let go. I think we're going to hear more and more. It's going to be trickling out. I imagine in the summer we're going to hear lots of stories about people going to see national parks and having to wait in line for hours and hours because they've, you know, let go of parks people. So
even taking the mail. There's news now that the Postal Service, yeah. So Trump wants to sort of redo it.
Though there are criticisms about the mail.
Plenty.
So people.
What are you going to be watching for, Tina? As somebody who was in Washington, knows the federal bureaucracy and its very wide tentacles, as that is constrained, there's so much talk about short-term impact and rehirings, but what about the long-term?
Well, first of all, I think we're all getting emails from these employees who want to talk to us. So that's an interesting perspective for reporters.
You're hearing stories about
people who are walking in and just being told that they don't have jobs. And I know that they hit a lot of people who are kind of newer hires, but still they're highly qualified people. And they're not always related to the political status of the president. So it's not that he's creating a whole new government in which we just don't know what to predict. So I'd be watching the lawsuits of what's happening and also how it will impact our everyday lives, the FAA, the CDC.
Tax filing season, 7,000 jobs cut at the IRS in the middle of the
tax filing season. Phone with the IRS before, and it's like an hour hold, and then someone hangs up on you, and that was last year. So I just can't imagine how much worse it's going to get.
It's definitely interesting when thinking about DOGE, especially with just the current state of the White House now, where what is said versus what is done can be two very different things. NBC came out with a report showing that Trump and Musk they really boasted about a line item and cutting an $8 billion contract with the Department of Homeland Security. And reporters looked into it, turned out it was $8 million. So you can have a 1,000-time inflation or exaggeration of what truly a cost cutting is. So when it comes to these buyouts, where you have 75,000 federal workers accept the buyout, only for many of them to be laid off anyway as a mistake, it's a mess when it comes to DOGE nationally. So people can only imagine what that's going to be like for the state of Illinois.
Potentially a lot of waste as well, as you have USAID closing down and just food rotting because there are no longer workers to dispense of it. Really, this is so very huge. I would like to go back to Pritzker here, especially as it relates to these actions in the federal government, because you are seeing, of course, the question of how much money could Illinois be cut from the federal government. Olivia, we spent, again, 35 minutes or so. There's a several hundred pages budget book that reporters are scouring, and the governor's Office of Management and Budget spent months putting together. Is this all a futile exercise, given that Illinois doesn't know what it's looking at when it comes to federal budget cuts?
It certainly feels like it could be a futile exercise if those massive cuts happen. I mean, if Illinois starts to lose all this funding, even though it doesn't all directly go into the fund that we're talking about, it would cause a lot of chaos. It would make things very, very hard. It would make it very hard to deal with all the problems that the governor said that he wants to deal with this year. It would make it impossible if at a certain level. There are definitely concerns about Medicaid in particular. I know that's one thing that a lot of advocates are specifically stressed about right now. But in general, yeah, this is a budget proposal based on contracts and agreements that are in place now that are just being assumed to go forward. Because, you know, there's nothing you can really predict in this administration. But, there is a chance that there could be a lot more chaos down the road.
So what are the highlights, Tina, from what we do know in terms of this budget and what the governor, at least, is hoping that the legislature will accept?
We do know it's a $55.2 billion budget, which is a lot of money, and it is the largest state budget in state history. So despite him saying that he is trying to be judicious about making cuts and is not going to be introducing new programs, you're still seeing a swelling budget every year, which the Republicans are not very happy about. There was an increase in funding to education, $350 million, which we've been seeing every year. Some cuts were for undocumented adults aged 42 to 64. There's a program that was cut that was helping them with health care, and that would saving the state about $400 million. So that was a big one, and we do anticipate a fight with that, particularly with the Latino caucus, because they want to stand up for their community, and a lot of people need help with that right now.
So Sheila, what is the prerogative there? The governor has said that he will stand up for those who are undocumented, for the immigrant population, and he had backed this program previously. So why is he now cutting it? Or proposing to anyway,
well,
eliminate it.
It was such a big deal to get that passed. Pritzker supported it, the Democrats in the General Assembly supported it, and to see it go is a surprise.
So is it political cover for him? Is he trying to say, I'm not spending money against all these accusations from Republicans that Illinois isn't spending that much on undocumented or in residents?
Democrats I talked to said it's a working document. It's not final until it's final. So I think, like Tina said, who knows what happens after they talk it through, and there'll be the Latino caucus will push to change that. Maybe they'll adjust the ages. Who knows?
Is Pritzker risking anything by separating himself from the Latino or the immigrant advocate community by even proposing this, though?
He sure is getting a lot of criticism that he hasn't before from the Latino caucus and the Black caucus. That was unusual. After previous budgets, we hear a lot of cheering from those groups, and I think they were much more subdued or outright critical of the budget. I thought it was funny during when he gave the speech, there was a point where he said, if you come to me and want a new program, you're going to have to be willing to cut something. And it was the first time you saw the Republican side of the chamber clapping and the Democrats were kind of quiet.
They're a little bit scared.
Yeah, I think, and Republicans too, across the board, I think everybody's just wondering what is going to happen. Nobody knows. And
well, and so, Michael, as Tina indicated, there is an increase that goes toward Illinois schools, but it is nowhere near the magnitude that CPS and the Chicago Teachers Union have been calling for. And I want to read a notice that I got from the CTU, and it said, we asked for full funding for CPS. They've been putting that toward about $1 billion. And they say, and Pritzker proposes banning cell phones. So what is the future for education here as you have so much of CPS negotiations really riding on and expecting more money from the state and Pritzker coming forward as expected, not coming through with it?
I think that this, well over the past 6 months to a year with CPS, has been kind of the finger pointing of who is going to pay from the city to the state. And it is ultimately Pritzker right now is hoping for what would be his seventh balanced budget as governor. And as she was saying, he's very clear at that is his focus, to make sure that the state continues despite all of what's going on nationally and all what's going on with federal funding, that he keeps that streak of a seventh balanced budget. And realistically, that is going to hold back progress. And so expecting something out of the ordinary from what has been granted before is definitely a big ask right now when
not
it comes
the
to the State House.
The CTU also mentioned, how is he going to protect certain students who would be under attack, like transgender students and disabled students? They were upset about that as well, that he should have addressed something. Instead of saying we have so much uncertainty in the federal government, how are you going to protect students across Illinois?
And Black legislators as well, upset that he didn't specifically, particularly during Black History Month, give a shout out and dedicate particular funds. Olivia, we have several months now that the General Assembly is going to be discussing this, figuring out their own budget. What are the key battles you're going to be on the watch for?
Definitely the funding for health care for immigrant adults. That's going to be a huge one. It's $400 million out of a $55 billion budget. I mean, it's still a big amount. So that'll be one. Another one that we didn't see anything about in this budget is the transit funding cliff, which the governor and others in leadership have said is because we kind of have to negotiate like the reforms first and the structure first of how that would look. But that's also a potentially huge amount of money that the state could be on the hook to pay. And that has not been really discussed or proposed at all at this point from the governor's office.
I almost read that as there is no tax increase as part of this proposal now. But if the money for transit is going to come through, there's going to be one in some capacity. Fair?
Fair.
All right, fair, F-A-I-R and F-A-R-E, perhaps. So the governor talking about an increase at the fare box as well. Speaking of transit, let's move to the speed limit. Shia, a push to lower the speed limit to 25 miles an hour on city streets failed to pass in the city council this week, despite members of the Progressive Caucus pointing to studies that this would save lives, particularly in more underserved areas where residents are Black and brown and there is a disproportionate share of ticketing already going on. So, saving lives, why didn't that pass?
Well, I can see both sides personally as somebody who gets a lot of tickets in the city. the Black Caucus is concerned that it increases fines and fees to a community that shouldn't be having to pay so much. And it would just make it worse for people in those neighborhoods. But you're right. It saves lives, so that's the debate. And at some point, they'll adjust the speed limit number, I guess, before they come to a conclusion.
Is this the last of this then, or you think?
Oh no,
be
no,
back?
I think that it'll be back. They'll be talking
about
it more.
They have it in Boston and New York. I feel like we tend to float things and then kind of take a long time to get them done.
Yeah.
I also think in general, anything that people really notice is something that lawmakers are more hesitant to do. Everybody knows, you know, the speed limit. It's something that's really touchable and quick.
Yeah. Right.
Michael, over to you, because people driving by, say, the United Center could be seeing some changes. You have done reporting on the greenlighting of a, what's it, $7 billion redevelopment program, the 1901 Project. What is this going to look like near the United Center?
So the 1901 Project is a multi-stage, six-stage redevelopment of the parking lot surrounding the United Center. So since around mid-2022 upwards, the owners of the United Centers, the Reinsdorf and Wirtz family, spent around $45 million buying up a lot of those parking lots that were going around the center, just with the rise of Uber, Lyft, and rideshare. And so now they're looking to turn that into a multi-purpose center, more so an area that has entertainment, housing, hotels, retail space, to where if you go to the United Center, not even for a sporting event, there's more than enough for the family to do.
So this is going to be opposite of Pave Paradise, put up a parking lot, but is there going to be gentrification concerns?
There is definitely room for it. And so right now there is a dedicated effort, as I understand, to affordable housing beyond just that area, and then within the city's mandates for affordable housing when it comes to developments, especially when thinking about the community of the Near West Side. Because a lot of the parking lots, especially when you go past the parking lots, those communities have been there for a long time. And wanting to understand, will people be able to gel when it comes to just this development? Because from now to around 2040 is expected to be the time period for this. So this is going to be a long time. They just got approval from City Council on Wednesday to move forward with the first stage that's going to go until around 2028. And it's just going to be a long haul for the United Center.
A long haul, lots of changes. Speaking of long haul, Olivia, People's Gas has been working for more than a decade replacing pipes, to the consternation of consumer groups who say it's taking too long, costing way too much money. The ICC, the Illinois Commerce Commission, that is, out with a ruling, and consumer advocates are claiming victory, but People's Gas also says, oh, wait, it could increase costs for consumers. Explain.
Yeah, so this is something that's been going on for years now, and it's a project that's already over budget, and we're not even, like, the amount.
A fraction done.
So this ruling says you have to get it done in 10 years, in the next 10 years, and you have to get it done in that time period, but prioritize the things that really need to get done. These are pipes that need to be replaced, but they're not satisfied at all with the speed that it's going at this point.
And we don't have good answers for why the most at-risk pipes weren't replaced in the first place, or do we?
Not as far as I know.
Not as far as I know either. I think people's guessing it would be more disruption across multiple neighborhoods, but still lots of frustration. Now, Tina, we are approaching the three-year anniversary, that will be Monday, of when Russia invaded Ukraine. You have spent some time reporting in Illinois, in Chicago's communities that have many Ukrainian residents, including thousands of refugees, wondering about their future.
Yes, I talked to some Ukrainian Chicagoans right when Trump was taking office, and they were hopeful. They thought, you know, he did say, I will end the war in one day. Not sure. The joke is, what day is that? But it has not improved. They are very fearful. President Zelensky is very upset this week, obviously, because there's been a meeting between Vladimir Putin and Trump looking very friendly with Russia, and him being completely shut out, like, very frustrating to not be in a meeting about your own country. So he's sounding the alarm, and you're just seeing a lot. The tensions are building. The relationship between President Zelensky and Trump is very, very harmed, and we got to see what happens with that.
And very many questions, as you noted, yes, in Chicago's communities with many Ukrainians. Before we end the program, we want to also give a note of condolences to the loved ones of former Cook County Commissioner Jerry the Iceman Butler. He was an R&B and soul musician who passed away, and you'll be able to read more about him on the WTTW website and check out our Instagram feed as well. Maybe be able to hear some of his tunes. With that, we are out of time. So our thanks to Tina Svandelis, Olivia Olander, Shia Kaplis, and Michael Liptrot. We will be back to wrap things up right after this.
Tonight's presentation of Chicago Tonight, Week in Review, is made possible in part by Ann and Rich Carr, BNSF Railway, Francine and Dr. Anthony Brown, and the Mullenhauer Progressive Philanthropic Fund, in honor of Ida Mollenhauer, supporting quality journalism. Chicago Tonight, is made possible in part by the Alexandra and John Nichols family, the Polk Brothers Foundation. Additional support is provided by
And that is our show for this Friday night. As we discussed this evening, federal workers are experiencing layoffs, buyouts, and changing policies. If you're one of them, we'd like to hear from you. If you have a story to share or just want to pass along your contact information, visit our website, wttw.com/news. Now for the Week in Review, I'm Amanda Vinicky. Thanks for watching. Stay healthy and safe. Have a good night. Enjoy the warming weekend temperatures. Now, Michael, we've spoken about anniversaries. It is now 6 years since Anjanette Young was home, changing, and police wrongly broke really into her home. She says, what is the deal? What is taking so long? Mayor Johnson promised change, and it still isn't happening.
There definitely seems to be a standoff between the legislation that they want to introduce, Johnson's support of it, and this week coming out saying that they are behind it, but also the fact that CPD has to also sign on. And a complete ban of no-knock warrants is going to be tough. So seeing what level, what conditions will be palatable to the police force, especially thinking about not only is this 6 years past this raid, but what all has come since then. Breonna Taylor, the firing of the CPD sergeant that was behind the raid. So it's a lot for people to keep in mind.
And do you know what the holdup is at this point? It has been 6 years just getting CPD to sign on. Doesn't the superintendent act when the mayor says, this is what I want?
Closed captioning is made possible by Robert A. Clifford and Clifford Law Offices, a Chicago personal injury and wrongful death firm that is proud to be a multilingual law firm that provides translators for a variety of languages.